And we're back on the Business Bunker. It's Jewel Serkin sitting in for the lovely Paul Andrews, who no doubt is doing a bit of gardening now, probably. He's probably got a little spade and a broom and, you know, doing his DIY and stuff. You can use the hashtag BBunker, and we'd love to hear how you're doing as we end the year, really, on a high. I think we're all feeling gung-ho, we've decided. I'm in the studio. It's an all-girl show, so we've got Pamela Angley of Angley Digital M on Twitter, and at We Do Social Media, the lovely Elle Cloak, one half, of course, her mother Linda rules the roost, and the fabulous Julie Anderson of Wrap Interiors. You'll find them Wrap_interiors. And we're going to talk to Julie now. And I'd also, of course, mustn't forget our sponsor, DG East. And you'll find them dgeast.co.uk. I will also say, don't forget to support your local high street and your local shops and your local small business, your greengrocer, your baker, your butcher and all that. Very, very important. So we're coming over to my lovely friend, Julie Anderson. I can't believe it's all those years since you came into the Business Bunker in Romney Marsh. We used to have fun there, didn't we?
We did.
Did you ever get sort of to meet the alpacas and things when you were there?
No, I didn't, Paul Andrews.
Didn't you ever get meet what was his name? Fred the porcupine. Didn't you ever meet Fred the porcupine?
No.
Really? You've missed out.
Clearly. Didn't look after me very well.
We'll have to make a foray back.
Yes.
So tell me what you've been doing this year, because we haven't seen you for a while. I want to know what Wrap Interiors are doing, how the year's been, how you've helped your clients, because I'm sure there have been some wobbles along the way where they're assuming that they're back in business, and then Boris says, no, you're not back in business. Has there been that sort of thing?
Yeah. I think at the beginning, there was just complete panic. Well, I think the world went into panic, didn't we? But for our clients, we were working from home, so we had to divert all the phones and everything. So as everybody did, you just went home and manned phones.
So you're talking about you diverting phones,
yeah,
or doing it for clients?
Telephones in our office, because we all went home like everybody did, panicked. And then the directors suddenly thought, well, we can't just sit at home, we've got to do something to save our company, because Boris was saying offices are finished, which was not great news for us. But very quickly people were ringing in, and it was massively busy at work for four directors who sort of held the roost for about 4 months. Just taking calls on frightened clients, really, not really knowing how to think about their own businesses and how they could work in their offices or not. And I suppose they were ringing us thinking that we had the magic answer, but we were in as much panic as everybody else.
So what did you do, and what did you advise?
Well, we decided we would try and come up with a strategy which would maybe help people, because we haven't got the magic answer, but it was just about putting something down on paper, really, for people to follow, a bit of a flow chart, like, how do your business normally work? Do you find you're overstaffed? Could you look at departments? Could you look at bringing some back in phases, like people have gone back in shifts and stuff like that? How could you
Bubbles. We had
bubbles.
You never hear a mention of bubble now.
I forgot about those.
Well, Pamela's forgotten. But this is what I find very odd about
gin
the whole
bubbles.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of that.
But this is the thing with the government strategy, isn't it? It has changed so many times. And if you remember, there were the bubbles. So everybody worked in a bubble. And just taking a lovely video of you if I speak, so sorry if I sound a bit vague. But then why don't they keep all that in? Why does it ever just everything change? Because the bubbles was a very, if you could, it was a very safer way of working, wasn't it? If you had the staff to work in threes that were all tested at the same time and all clear.
Yeah. I do think, although, you know, I don't want to cause a political storm.
Go on, Julie. It's the end of the year.
Well, see, I do quite like Boris, but I do think he's quite disorganised. But I think we're all looking...
Needs a good haircut.
Yeah, God, there's any hairdressers out there. I just think we're all looking to someone for the answer, but no one's got the answer. We've never been in this situation before. So it is about helping each other get through a muddle. And for us, we had to create a back to work, or bounce back better, we called them, brochure, which we just sort of thought of all the things that if we were trying to get our staff back, how was it going to work? How could people come back in, feel safe, You know, some companies had staff that didn't want to come back. Our team were desperate to get back, so that was great. Yeah. Easy to get them back in. But we had to think about their safety and then their family's safety. So I think at the beginning it was just complete chaos, but we brought some strategies into our own office and we put that into a brochure, which we emailed out to everyone that's on our database. And then we started getting calls, you know, and people just wanting to talk through the strategy and their particular company's processes, which did somehow seem to manage them all, manage to help them all. And then very quickly we were getting people saying, if I do a Zoom call with you and I do a measurement of my own office, or here's my floor plan.
Oh, that's a good idea.
This is how my company operates. I've got 20 in marketing and 60 here. And we were dealing with big companies all over the UK being able to Zoom us, you know, from America. So we were doing strange times of Zooming. People could send us their floor plan, tell us about their companies. We could ask them lots of questions, space plan it in a more social way of working. Zoning is a big word now.
Tell me about zoning.
Well, it's people have enjoyed being at home, but they don't want to stay there.
So you have an in the office a pajama corner. Or a trackie corner.
I'm a big gin fan.
I can tell. Yeah. I mean, it's been mentioned. It's been mentioned in the hour. You know, I think we're on gin three now, Julie. And your skin looks fabulous, by the way. So, you know, it's obviously doing it. So tell me about zoning.
Yeah, so zoning is about keeping people in their departments. I suppose like bubbles, really. You're creating zones where if you've got to have...
Write and tell Boris you've got a new strategy.
Yeah, well, it's a very common word now, as is resimercial.
I don't know about this.
I've not heard that before.
Because people want to have the balance of working at home because they've enjoyed the time where they can stick the washing on and take the dog for a walk and have a break. And sometimes you don't have that break in the office because you sit at your desk and you don't move and you eat at your desk and you don't get that break.
Well, there's also the commuting time that Paul and I have talked about on the show since COVID, where I know my new husband was commuting an hour and a half most days. He's actually lost weight on the working from home because his commuting time, he's now windsurfing or he's jogging or he's whatever. Yeah. And like you say, putting on a wash, you're still going back to work.
Yeah.
But you can't do that when you're in the office.
Yeah.
So if you've got washing machines,
like mowing the lawn and washing the car and washing your hair and all that.
But then you can do that in your lunch hour, which you couldn't do if you were in the office.
A lot of people were saying that they were working from earlier till later working at home, and you do get that sort of home.
They adapt.
Yeah, but they sort of had a home burnout then. And then you do realise how much you miss your colleagues and the camaraderie. I mean, our office is quite a noisy place and we do have a lot of jokes going around and gin in the cupboard. But it's good to be with people because you need to bounce off people, especially in our industry because we're in the creative industry. So designing a space doesn't all just come from one brain. It comes from lots of brains.
I'm just going to bring in Pamela because she was champing at the bit there.
Yes, Pamela. Actually, it's spinning off what you're just saying, that it's important to be in person. But you were also saying you did do a lot of Zoom and international clients. Did you find some aspects were a bit more time efficient, being able to do things online or Zoom?
Yeah, because inquiries, you've always got to allow that time to travel to London or Birmingham or wherever your inquiry is, because we work all over the place. We got more done on Zoom, but you did get that Zoom fatigue, which everyone was talking about, you know, because you would build up, say, 10 Zooms in a day, whereas if I went on 10 inquiries, well, I wouldn't survive.
Yeah.
So I'd probably only go on two or three a day, whereas we could do 10 Zooms. But then your brain is just overloaded.
That is the thing. And that's what I noticed, as I said, with my show, Scoff and Quaff, that Zoom is not like being here with real people. You're looking at a screen, even if you're using the video, it's not the same.
Yeah.
And I mean, I got into the statement earrings, Pamela, in a big way.
Oh, lovely.
Which was great.
You know. Nice.
And a bit of lippy. So I now have lipstick on my desk and a bit of lip liner on my desk. But I did get Zoom fatigue, and you are definitely using a different part of your brain looking at a screen than when you are. And I notice, I mean, most of my life is on my iPhone. I tend to do that because I don't really like sitting in my office, which is like a loft. It's not very nice to sit in. So, but I do find that I get headaches because I'm on my phone too much. Yeah. It's a different zone. And don't you notice when you're on your phone, your brain is totally somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So easy to get distracted.
When you're on Zoom, you are listening to that person because you're not used to taking in that amount of information from a call. When you go to an inquiry, you're taking in that information from just chatting and it's more personal. Yes. Whereas in a Zoom, you've got to really listen to everything someone's saying and you'll focus a lot more. But the world of office has changed, as we all know now. People are some at home and shifts coming back into the office. But I think employers have been challenged to toe the line to their employees' demands now, because employees are calling the shots. You know, I know a lot of companies that say, I've got to get XYZ department back, but they don't want to come. So then there's a lot more HR involved. So some HR departments have grown or they've outsourced. But we were talking to companies on much more of an issue level in their company, as opposed to people who just come to us and say, we need to be wrapped. We need to be refurbished in a wrap style. We want the wow factor and we want... You know, this is usually the wants I get. I want colour. I want this. I want green.
You're kind of known for your colour, aren't you? I remember a lot of your visuals. You use that beautiful bright green, don't you, quite a lot. And colour is great, isn't it? It perks up everybody.
Yeah, we do an enormous amount of wood finish stuff now in offices.
Which is very relaxing and calming.
Bringing the outside in, very
planty.
Oh, do loads of...
Real plants?
Well, you can have living walls, which are made of different composites of moss.
Oh, I'd love a living wall.
But you don't have to do anything to it because it absorbs the moisture from the air, and that's how the moss stays soft.
Oh, wow.
So it's moss. Can you use cacti as well, or cactus, or cactuses?
Well, we haven't used any cactuses, but they might be a bit prickly.
Well, you don't lean on your living wall unless you've had four gins.
No, but you can lean on a nice moss wall because it's lovely and soft. It's like going on to
would
a
it not
bed
make you dirty?
No.
Because the soil isn't shown.
I might send you a bit of moss wall.
So that's good for the environment. And I think the natural, bringing the outside in, is also. I have a thing with houseplants. I love houseplants. Yeah, I love real ones. I hate plastic ones. And I do kill quite a lot of indoor plants. They're quite easy. They either you overwater them or they go all brown and crispy. Do you have a service where you can actually supply beautiful statement plants and then actually look after them?
Well, there are companies that will come and replace your plants every
week.
So
you'll work with those, will you?
Yeah. We have companies that do that, like banks. They like to have, you know, two weekly changes of plants, and big offices in London. But there is also from the Moss Wall Brigade, there is moss wall plants and preserved plant material that actually looks and feels like a really nice real plant, absorbs stuff from the moisture from the air, and you don't have to do anything to them. So you've got your happy medium between
you. That's my kind of plant.
Plastic plant. But I think it's all coming back to productivity now. People want people to be happy, get back to work. People mentally need each other, and that's why there's been such a high rise in when mental well-being support, you know, from employees. So employers have had to think about a lot more in the last year, not just about how to run the business and where people are going to sit.
It's also about, I know a lot of, you know, graduates who come out of uni, they got amazing jobs in London. Suddenly, there was no mentoring. They weren't in an office. They were on their own, some of them working from beds. A lot of companies were really, really good. So they were sending home sort of standing desks and other screens and kitting them up, which was great. But for a young person, I think more than someone that's established, or if you're a husband and wife, you've got someone else, a young person on their own, it must be very, very tough. And just that whole mentoring thing and talking to people in the office, banter. It just doesn't happen on a Zoom.
And you go to work to have a different sort of day, don't you? If you just stay at home all day, it's a bit monotonous, even though you might be working. You go to work with your work family, and then you go home to go out with your friends. So I think we all need each other, and I'm glad to see that people are wanting to go back to work. It's a different way of working. Resi Marshall is all about people who worked at home who liked the feeling of working at home but now need that feeling in the office. So it's a lot more about zoning, sofas, bean bags, hanging chairs. Yeah. Create that in the office.
And making fun.
Yeah, making it fun.
What about, Julie, what about heating? Because I've been talking to a company called Herschel, who do electric infrared heaters, and I discovered it by all the alfresco dining that we're doing and sitting outside with coats and woolly hats on and all that malarkey. Lots of cocktails needed just to keep warm, really. Yeah. But these infrared heaters are great because they're under a proper parasol and you can actually feel it going into your bones. And my own mum said, oh, it's helping my rheumatism, you know. So I contacted them and they're going to be up on the Business Bunker. I did a little interview with them last week. And I've just bought two for outside, for our garden. They're amazing. But and they seem to work better because we had one of the gas ones. But when it's windy, you don't really get the heat. But these work really well. So she said, if I want interior ones, if I send the measurements and how much glass there is and all that, she'll work it out for me, what the cubic feet or whatever I need to heat the room properly. And they have, and you'll love this, I'm going to hook you up with them. They have mirrors that are heaters.
Oh, wow.
They also have any picture that you want. So Elle and Pamela, you'd have all your visuals. You can have a photo, which is actually an electric infrared heater.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
You'll hear about them and I'll put you in touch. Because, I mean, you're all about making an office fun. And heaters aren't very pretty, are they? Really,
no, radiators aren't pretty in general, really, are they? Unless you get the old nice cast iron ones or like a picture radiator, you can get those. But, you know, people rely on air conditioning to do the heating and cooling, but the worst thing is when you've shut your office up for a while and then you go and turn the air conditioning on after, say, 3 months of everybody working at home and all the bacteria has accumulated in the air conditioning. So people going back really should put air conditioning servicing straight on the top of the agenda.
Very good one. And because Legionnaires' disease, there was a lot of that, wasn't there, from the droplets. Yeah. There was one chap I read about who actually, it's really a really sad story. He died, they'd been away on holiday, and he died from actually turning his hose on in the garden, which had been left for a couple of months while he'd been away. I think he had a house somewhere in Spain. And he somehow got Legionnaires' disease in his lungs from that hose, from the droplets, which is like a kind of a one-off, you hope. No, exactly. But you're right about the aircon. Also, water machines is my one bugbear, because when I was at A&E after my AstraZeneca damage, in 8 hours that I sat there, which is pretty standard, that water machine was not cleaned once, and people were helping themselves to the plastic cups at the top, touching everything.
Oh dear.
There were wipes on the top, but nobody used them. Then they're pressing the button. This is in a hospital. So, you know, offices have got to think about that sort of thing as well. And I'm sure you guys do. But it seems
we took our water machine away. Well, we just didn't fill it up. We didn't use it.
Yeah, and it seems to me like you're looking at the whole picture and you're actually bringing in people's welfare by making the offices healthy.
Yeah.
Healthier.
Yeah, and I think we learn a lot about caring about each other during COVID. Everybody cares, don't they, now? So when we had to talk to customers a lot during the COVID outbreak, you know, the height of it all, we felt like we were helping people just talk through ideas, and sometimes that's all people wanted to do, to make decisions as to whether they could bring half their office back, or 1 week this department, 1 week that department. It wasn't rocket science, but it was just about talking to each other and showing them lots of designs. And we won quite a lot of work during COVID from Zoom conversations, which I was amazed about.
I'm interested to know, because I've never seen you on a Zoom. So when you do a Zoom, have you got this beautiful background?
No, I forget that, and then I look at everybody else's and I think, oh, how do they do that? That's another technical thing, isn't it?
My new husband had a Zoom the other day, and it was with a client, and she's obviously quite OCD, and she said to him, I really can't concentrate on this Zoom, and her hands went on her hips. He said, what's wrong? She said, I can see your slippers in the corner of the room. You know, it's like, how anal do you get, you know? And he hides them from the greyhound, because the greyhound chooses slippers. So it was quite a funny, you know, because you do we've become very aware of backgrounds, haven't we?
Yeah, well, when you've been on a Zoom and you suddenly see the wife or the husband walk by, like, in their nightdress or
something. Well, that BBC...
That interview.
That BBC interview, which went viral, was an absolute classic, wasn't it?
Was that pre-COVID, though? I can't...
I think it probably was around... Yeah, it was pre-COVID. I don't know why we're thinking of that with COVID, but because it was a so Zoom. Funny. Yeah, it was hilarious. But there was also the other thing of that, which was his wife was Asian, and then there were people that assumed it was the nanny, and that just showed the mindset of, another conversation for the Business Bunker. Paul Andrews would be screaming, tearing his hair out now, because I'm getting political.
Told you off talking about nipples.
Yeah, I know. I know, but they are freezing, aren't they? I mean, Julie's actually put a coat on.
Yeah,
I keep taking mine on and off. Pamela, let's bring you in. So talking to Julie and what she's saying about the office, any ideas on that of how it's affected people? Do you work from home all the time?
Yes, I do. I think for me, I'm a creature of habit, as in I had a really great routine in place. But here is a tip I do give to people, because I was doing it for a long time leading up, about a year leading up to COVID, is before I look at an email or do anything, I feed my dog, get ready while he's eating, and I'm straight out the door for a morning walk. Mm. And I see people, I smile at people, and it was just a lifeline during lockdown.
Walking
and seeing people and just smiling and saying good morning. I was that crazy person who insisted on saying good morning to every single person I passed, prompting people to tap back. And I've met some wonderful neighbours because of it. So we all constantly meet walking our dogs, and that just set me up for the day, and I'd get into my work routine, and that was my bit of human interaction, as small as it was.
I think that routine is what saved us all, wasn't it?
Yes.
You wake up, you have your breakfast or your cup of tea or whatever, and you walk. If you haven't got a dog, whether you still walk.
Yes.
We've got people, electric scooters. I've got to say a quick hello to the amazing Paragon Drones. They're on the Twitter and they're tweeting in using the BBunker hashtag, as you must. And they are propelling drone service. And you can find them on paragondrones.co.uk. And Elle, any more on the Twitter? As you are the social media, one of the gurus in the studio.
Trying.
Yeah.
Let me find them.
While you have a look,
I've got a
thing here to read. There's an economic forecaster and university professor, Richard Scais. I think that's how you say it. It might be Scaisy, but S-C-A-S-E. He's examining the ongoing and long-term effects of increasing numbers of people with the capital snapping up homes in Kent. Apparently, China, Hong Kong people, Hong Kongese, buying in, Tunbridge Wells, snapping up.
Look what's happened to the property market. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, bonkers. A lot of people are moving to Wales, actually, and an Ireland, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I'm hearing the same.
Almost a century, the countryside in West Kent has been invaded by housing developments driven by a booming London economy, and the pandemic has now extended this process to the rest of the country. Rest of the county. People in small towns and villages in the rural areas are now terrified of being swamped by huge housing projects. Paul Andrews puts these in because he knows it drives me bonkers that they're just building all over. I think this is another Business Bunker, because we're all seeing it, aren't we?
Yes.
They're called DFLs, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, I'm a DFL, but I've been in Whitstable 25 years. So, Elle, have you found anything on the Twitter?
Yeah, we've only got one, apart from...
There's hundreds, but
I'm not seeing the hundreds.
I'll let you off.
we've got PDR Group or Act PDR Solutions. We would love a shout out. PDR Solutions in Tunbridge Wells, temporary and permanent roles available throughout the southeast. Visit their website, which is in the tweet itself.
Which is?
PDRsolutions.co.uk.
So beautifully read. And we've had a tweet from Tracy Ferguson. She's a regular listener there in Medway, Rochester. And she is a mentor for Prince's Trust. She owns Plucky's World. That's with a CKY, Plucky's World. And she's on the Twitter at Tazi, TAZI64. And she was going, ooh, about the heaters, Julie, that I was saying, Herschel. So I've put Tracy in touch with them on the Twitter. I see what happens on Twitter, Elle.
Yes, I've actually seen here Richard Barker saying, what a lovely voice you have, Jules.
He might mean Pamela.
Oh, I don't think so.
Presenter has such a lovely voice.
Yeah, but
voice.
He might think Pamela's the presenter. Because Richard Barker, he's got a very apt name because he's one of my dog buddies. You know, we talk about lurchers and greyhounds. And then I realised his surname was Barker, which is very,
very fitting
for dog tales. But you see, he's never tuned in before. So he'll just think Pamela runs the show. I can see Pamela and you having your own show.
Oh, wow.
Paul and I will make way for you.
Oh, goodness.
I have to read the uninterrupted FSB bulletin.
Shall I fill in for you and do the occasional interruption?
No, you're not. You're welcome to. Paul Andrews gets very uppity if I do. But it's quite big, so I'm going to do it now before we go on. Then we'll come back and chat. So you're listening to The Business Bunker with me, Jules Serkin. I'm going to read this uninterrupted FSB. Feel free to heckle, ladies. I can handle it. And then we'll come back and talk to, again, Elle, Pamela and Julie Anderson.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
And there's a big small business networking in the UK. It's on the 15th of December. Is that manana? I think today's the 14th, isn't it?
Yes.
The largest small business network, it's the event. The largest small business networking event in the FSB's history ever, if you'd like to network with hundreds of small businesses from across the UK. And then, so that's manana, Kent Women in Enterprise Virtual Networking, Tuesday the 11th of January, this is the diary date, at 9:30 to 10:30. You can meet other business owners and expand your network at the next Virtual Connect networking event. Property and construction event. Here's one, Julie, as you're building your house. I haven't asked you about that yet. Making sure your project runs smoothly. Thursday the 13th of January, 8 to 9, Peter Searle, he's hosting this four-part property and construction series to be held on a bi-monthly basis. This event is a topic from Peter. It's called Three Steps to Winning Tenders. I think that's a good idea for any business. Am I interrupting myself? I think I am. Overcoming fear and doubt in business. That's Thursday the 13th of January, 10 to 11, just an hour there. So that sounds like a nice quick bite. Then we've got networking. Let's talk tech for engineering, manufacturing and transport sectors. That's on the 19th of January. That's a Wednesday, 10 to 11. And then transition to net zero with the Zero Carbon Business Portal, Wednesday 26th of January, 11 to 12. How to secure and manage PR for your business. This is Thursday the 27th of January, 11 to 12. Now, there's a really good way to find out all about these. You can go on to www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk, put a little /FSB and you'll find them all there. So that's always a really, really good way to do everything and to find out what's going on. There's also how to eat yourself productive. This is a bit worrying, Julie, isn't it?
Yourself.
I like that one.
This woman is getting a reputation.
G&T.
Do you know, gin makes me a bit maudlin, actually, but I'm more
You're
of
not
a...
drinking enough. Well,
I kind of like the Anno distillers. Have you discovered Anno?
Yeah, yeah. I like all the flavoured ones.
Yeah, I like all the flavoured ones. I like cider. I like a good dry cider. I'll meet you up for a gin and you can tempt me.
A tasting.
So I'm interrupting myself again on the FSB. So how to eat yourself productive. It's Tuesday the 11th of January. It's 12:30 to 1:30. And it's a webinar with life and business coach. Her name's Alice Dartnell. And she's going to focus on the nutrition and health aspect of energy management. And Alice will be joined by expert nutritionist Amani Kate to discuss. And the link, she says, between the food, the brain and happiness is what to start, stop or continue doing to be more productive. how your health impacts your business, how your business impacts your health. This is all true. Mm-hmm. And what to do going forward. So that's on Tuesday the 11th, 12:30 to 1:30. Business acceleration, ditch the rearview mirror. Wednesday, 12th of January, 11 to 12. They're saying if you want to start 2022, can you believe it's going to be 2022? What happened to
21?
What happened to October? I mean, you know, I can't believe we're in December. Paul Andrews, I'm sorry, I'm interrupting my own FSB, but it is quite fun with the ladies in the studio. If you want, what's that saying? While the dog's away, something will play. While the cat's away,
The mice will play.
That's it, exactly. If you want to start 2022 by looking forward, not back, to achieve your business goals, this is a webinar for you. So it's Wednesday the 12th, as I said, at 11 to 12. It's led by the team behind business consultants, Tinderbox. The session will show why businesses need to adapt to new environments to succeed. Tune in and hear how the idea of business acceleration can help your business to innovate and challenge the status quo by introducing powerful mindsets and utilising the key concept of triangular thinking to make you feel better positioned to respond to future opportunities. Again, everything that I'm reading is on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. FSB. And lastly, for the FSB, they're launching wellbeing benefits designed for small business and the self-employed. When you're working for yourself, looking after your wellbeing is crucial, as we know, for the success of your business. Access a wide range of wellbeing resources and services that would normally only be available to employees of large businesses. Include 24/7 telephone and online GP and unlimited counselling for members and their families. Great, this virtual physio, not sure how that works. I suppose they'll teach you stretches and things of the neck, the tech neck, and discounted health cash plans and insurance advice and more. Again, find it on www.fforfreddysb.org.uk. And did I say lastly, there's one more little one that sneaked in. Entries are now open for the Celebrating Small Business Awards 2022. So do this because it's the end of the year and you have time. It's free to enter. They're celebrating achievements, successes and resilience of small businesses and self-employed across the UK. And you're all invited, they say. Whether you're shortlisted for one of 12 local awards or make it all the way to the spectacular UK final, it's time to put your business in the spotlight and show us what you're made of. So there you go. Go to www.fsbawards.co.uk. I mean, I can think of three people in here that would do that quite happily. So brilliant. So let's go back to Julie. I'm dying to ask her. That was the FSB Awards, by the way. There's probably a fanfare that I was supposed to have played at the end, but, you know, I can't really find it. I might do this just to annoy you all. Hang on, see what this is. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. That looks a bit dangerous. But I'm sure there's an FSB fanfare, so we'll just all go like this. That was your FSB. So, Julie, tell me, you're building a house.
Oh, yes, yeah. We are.
Did you find land?
Yes.
Have you got friends in the council?
No. this is, does surround the story of gin again. So,
Kel Surprise.
We went to families for Christmas Day drinks a couple of years ago when we were all allowed to meet, and they'd invited the neighbour. Our house was up for sale in Lewes, and the neighbour said, "Where are you going to move?" And we said, "Oh, we don't know. We're looking to maybe buy a bungalow, knock it down, and build something a bit unusual." And they said, "Oh, you're not interested in a chicken shed?" And we said, "Chicken shed? Where's that then?" And they said, "Over on our land." So we said, "Where's that?" "Oh, it's in Westmorling, blah, blah." So we went to have a look at it with a gin and tonic in hand.
So of course,
and high heels on
and some chicken
day.
Feed.
No chickens there.
And, oh, so it was an empty chicken
empty
shed?
Empty chicken, disused empty chicken shed. And
hang on, was it quite a big one?
Yes, it was. I think it's 10 metres by 18.
Wow. I don't know metres. Come on, tell me in feet inches. I'm so old, darling. You didn't do metres. Is it, what, bigger than this room?
Yes.
What
chicken shed, yes.
Well, it depends how many chickens. Some people just have two, don't they, in a little coop.
Well, it's now going to be a four-bedroom Kentish barn, and we haven't changed the footprint of it.
Oh, so it's big.
It's quite big.
Wow.
And
have you got rid of the smell of chickens yet?
Yeah.
You know, that sort of that's slightly musty smell.
But it hasn't been used for chickens for a long time. There was tractors in there.
Did it? Hang on a minute. Did it go cheap?
No, I wouldn't say it's cheap. I can tell you.
But it's a feather in your cap, though.
Well, the thing is, we've been looking for land for years, and like
everyone.
It's just really hard to find a piece of land and get it through planning or not be stitched up by somebody else who comes in to want to stitch you up. So anyway, we agreed on a price with these lovely couple for the piece of land, and our architect said, well, what do you want me to design? And I said, we've already designed it. Here you are. So he put it into sort of scale and everything, and he said, be prepared to come down on your scale of design. You're probably going to have to come down, so think of plan B. What would you be happy with? And then we'll go for plan A, but expect plan B. So we went for plan A and got plan A. With
amazing.
Not one question. Wow. Amazing.
Not one question.
Not one question.
Wow.
Wow.
Amazing.
It's a bar.
Clever off.
Do you think your industry knowledge really helped?
Has she got a moss wall? Is that what you're saying? But the council love eco, don't they?
Yeah, well, we have to build it to a certain standard.
Is it like a Huff house?
No, it's not a Huff house, but it has
I dream of having a Huff house.
Do you?
Yeah.
What is
it costs a lot of
the
money.
The passive house, yeah, they're called.
You
passive
heat
house.
From the ground, the heat disperses into
And it's something about the windows keeps it all...
We have got,
you can
like
Google them.
Thermal efficient windows, roof, insulation in the concrete in the floor.
Oh,
but
wow.
If you know, there's only so much you want to spend on building a house, and what's your budget. So our thing was to make it look like an old-fashioned Kentish ragstone barn.
Oh, I love that.
But we
it
haven't got
beautiful.
Black weatherboarding, we've got black concrete board, so that it looks like weatherboarding, but you can just hose it down. You haven't got to paint it
really
year. It's called hardy board.
Okay,
brilliant.
So is that different, Julie, from cladding? Or is it cladding?
Well, it's like concrete planks of wood that feel like wood, and you can have them in any colour you want. So you can have grey,
bright pink,
green, bright pink if you want. I'm surprised I didn't go for that with
pink. Yeah, you are a pink girl.
But anyway, so it's black and ragstone. Ragstone from Gallagher's, which is local Kent, the ragstone people.
Beautiful. Ragstone is beautiful.
Yeah. And then we've got big black grand design sort of atrium thing, and some featured oak trusses that come from France.
Don't we all want to go around there now?
Definitely.
For gyms.
If you want to have a look at it, I've posted a bit on my Facebook.
I would love to see photographs.
So is Rick, is he a builder? Or
well, he
or
could
now.
Build it, but we had to outsource it because we're so busy with our own company. Either that or retire a year earlier than what was the plan. So we are working with a supplier that we know who's a builder, and we are heavily involved because we would be, because part of our industry knowledge. So we are over there being a pain in the neck, I should think, to the builder. But it's coming on, and we should be moving in January.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah.
Great.
Really,
start.
It does look nice.
I think the thing with building your own, I've always wanted to do it if only I could find some land. I'm just looking for a garage.
Yeah.
My boys have got, a jet ski, and it's taken over our garage. And I'm looking desperately for a hangar in Whitstable, if anybody's listening, that I'll buy and put the jet ski in, but it's got to be near where we live. And it's just really, really hard to get a garage or anything like that. So you've got the dream, really.
Well, we have, but we didn't expect it at all. You know, we hadn't planned to look for any more land. We've looked enough and got annoyed about everything, so we gave up.
And what's your garden like? Have you got any space?
Yeah, we've got gardens, but
you've got a chicken run, I suppose.
A little run for Rick. Oh, down the garden, Rick. We had a big garden where we've come from in Lewes Valley, but we wanted a flat garden that was manageable. So I think what's left is probably about 20 metres wide, 10 metres long.
And the tennis court is around the back, is it?
No, it's not. It's not that. It's not a big garden.
With chicken fox-proof fencing.
Yeah. Well, apparently we have got to put in this type of fencing that's going to keep the rabbits out because it's on a farmland. So,
what? So the just wild rabbits? You mean?
Yeah. Apparently they come in and eat everything.
Yeah, they would.
So
they are
used to that,
lovely,
so.
But you might even have hares there because there are a few hares in Kent.
Mm.
longer ears, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, exciting.
So that was your challenge, and you're moving in January. That's very exciting. I can't wait to visit you. Mm-hmm. The other thing I was going to say, let's go back to business because it is the Business Bunker, and Paul Andrews is listening, you know. Mm. Give us your top tip. So if somebody is moving office, maybe they're, because of what's happened in this dreadful pandemic, maybe they're downsizing, possibly. I know a lot of offices are having to rethink, like you were saying, zones. So it could be that they want to put a cafe in there or a bookshop or something like that. How manageable is that sort of thing? Because I know if people are working from home, having a great big office in London is not cost effective. Yeah. So from what I'm hearing, people are diversing and maybe putting little boutiques in things, or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if people have got a lot of space, yeah, and they don't now, if they decided they don't need it all,
yeah,
you can ask your landlord to subdivide your space and create your own business hub, your own fruit works in your office.
Yeah.
As long as the landlord's happy with that, you've, yeah, sort of made some use of excess space.
If it's the difference between paying the rent and not being able, yeah, to pay the,
yeah,
rent.
Yeah, and it keeps you going, and actually it's quite nice to mix with other businesses. Mm. But, you know, the actual office desk could be something that isn't as common as what we're used to, because people like to now just pitch up at a chair with, like, a side table that you can flip up, mm, or you could sit in a little booth, which is sort of like, well, a three-sided piece of furniture where you can have a TV on one side and you could sit at like a Wagamama bench, but it's soundproofed around you, so you, wow, can rock up in these booths, we call them, or you can have Zoom booths, which are like a sort of soundproofed phone box, so some people like to stand in there, do some private work. It's about having different ways of working.
Very,
it's not
flexible.
Just about, yeah, an office desk anymore. And people don't need big desks. Mm. They like, mm, it, and they like to keep like 3 years of food in their pedestal. But you don't need it.
No.
Ditch the pedestal. Go for lockers so that you can go to your locker and get your little
donut out.
Briefcase out of your stapler, your stuff. Rock up at a desk or a position or a booth. And it's about flexible working and creating that resi-mercial feel.
So I think with the younger generation, such as Elle and Pamela, you are looking for more sort of fun times, perhaps, you know, in the office, rather than the more formal thing of when I was growing up, offices were quite formal. Tell us about that. What would you look for if you were going into Julie's office? Do you like the sound of the booths?
I do, yeah.
I do. Heard of
I
that
really
before.
Do. Yeah. I've seen them on social media. Our office can post a picture of a booth right now on Twitter.
Yeah, I've come never on, heard Chris. Of it.
I love that. I have seen them advertised on social media, and they're fascinating. They are literally like the size of a telephone box, you're right, and totally soundproof.
Mm. Yeah, but you can't make a phone call in there to GPO or anything like the old days. Yeah, that's how old I am.
Do you think the novelty would wear off, though? Because I'm definitely one to
standing
like my
up
own
in
space.
One.
No, more just not having your own set space.
Actually, I was wondering about the COVID thing, about wiping all the desks if you're moving around.
Mm. Yeah. Or, yeah, but it's easy to wipe a desk if you're having a clear desk policy and you have to go to your locker to get your stuff, you should be the only person touching your locker.
Yes.
Obviously wipe the handle down, or you can get like fobs now that you just wave in front of a locker and it opens, so there's no touching. But you can go to a desk and easily spray your disinfectant on it.
It makes me want to have my own office space so I can like have creative control of organising it.
That's odd.
Oh, yeah, wow. That's amazing.
So Julie is showing a pod. You've got to put that out on Twitter. That's very glam. I thought it was just an old red telephone box.
That's what I was imagining too.
That's very glam.
Or like a Doctor Who TARDIS.
The world has come on a lot more than that, you know.
But do you know what it reminded me of too, which I haven't done in a while, which I'm finding quite difficult, you know, in everybody's working from home, is anything like singing or artists. And when you're in a confined space with terraced houses or close, like you can't exactly sing at the top of your voice. So something
she's
like
Irish, you see,
and a performer.
She's got her
sure
fiddle.
Anyone would have you in their office if all you're going
to sing. But that's another side. It would be really good.
What do you mean? So in your house, you don't want to get your fiddle out and sing?
Well, like I'd have
in an Irish way.
But singing, when you're singing, you want to just let go.
Yeah, but
and
you can't do that in your house.
Everybody's working from home now, so. Yeah, I just wouldn't feel that I could fully.
Do you think it would be more of a part-time thing? Because I would be exactly the same. Yeah.
Hang on, I'm confused. So you're saying that you could sing and play your fiddle in an Irish way in an office, but not at home?
In this pod.
Because it sounds
like more time to whistle.
So you could. Another side is you could have one at home if you were in a place where you don't want loads of complaints. Yeah. For any musicians,
here's another pod.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, wow.
So now Julie is going to tweet that out in a minute, and we'll tweet it.
This is like a full-person booth.
That's a beautiful turquoise. Julie loves her colour.
Well, my mum, when we go home to Ireland, has a garden party. My cousin gets the flute out. We do this big sing-song. I know it sounds very Irish. Those booths in the garden would be ideal for us.
Yeah.
Ideal.
That's what you want.
Can we have some Irish dancing in a minute?
I can try.
Hang on. How's your pelvic floor, Julie?
Oh, perfect.
I know my daughter, because she works in London, and her boyfriend has a house in Dublin, and they both work in a London office.
Oh, lovely.
For a big company, and they've closed the office, so they've got a flat in Clapham, so now they've closed the office, she's off to Dublin, and she'll work from home there, and they've got a garden, whereas in the flat in London they've got nothing, you know, they've got no space, but it's quite strict in Ireland, you know, for
very strict
going out and stuff, but they swim and they walk and they sort of embrace. I mean, I've just sent her some wellies over, actually, because it does rain a lot.
It is very, very rainy. People complain here about the rain, but honestly you see nothing like it.
But it is beautiful, it's absolutely lovely. If you just tuned in, this is not the weather programme, it's the Business Bunker with me, Jules Serkin, and in the studio we've got Julie Anderson of Wrap Interiors. You'll find her on the Twitter, Wrap, R-A-P underscore interiors. The lovely Pamela Angley, who's taking over as my co-presenter, and you'll find her at Angley Digital with a capital M. That's A-N-G-E-L-Y Digital M. And of course, the regular on the Business Bunker, the lovely Elle, who is, we do social media, Elle Cloak, and her better half mum Linda is at home.
This is accurate,
no doubt, listening and heckling Elle in case she doesn't do anything. Anything, have you got anything else to read as we round up there, my lovely co-presenter? Pamela?
So the government has announced its 10-year drug strategy with the largest ever increased investment of £780 million to rebuild the drug system across England. So Kenward Trust particularly welcomes the proposed focus, and their CEO, Penny Williams, has said, "We have seen a significant increase, unfortunately, in demand for our drugs and alcohol rehabilitation services, especially over the past 18 months. And sadly, drug and alcohol budgets in local authorities had been slashed during COVID." So you can find out more about Kenward Trust on kenwardtrust.org.uk or give them a ring on 01622 814 187.
Beautifully read. And Julie, I think you've got a little something. I'm hooking in all my lovely co-presenters here.
I've got two emails. One from Produced in Kent, speaking about their Food Loop Christmas appeal. Foodloop.app is their website. They are looking for crowdfunding donations and contributions. They've only got £17,000 to go. They have raised £26,000, so well done, you guys.
Excellent.
And this is a food funding project which shares excess food so others in the community can make use of it. So that's lovely.
That sounds really good. And the lovely Vanilla Webb has just tweeted the Business Bunker, and he says, talking about what we were saying about relocating to Dublin and other gorgeous chicken sheds and things, the FT have reported more than 1 million commuters will give up their London jobs in the new year as no longer want to commute.
I'm interested to see what that will do for London. Will we start seeing more hospitality? Will it become more of a place for like enjoyment rather than actually work.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because, of course, you know, people like Lord Alan Sugar have been bellyaching about people going into work and supporting the cafes and the bistros that have obviously been really struggling because the footfall just isn't there.
Mm.
But as we were saying earlier, these big offices have got to diversify and maybe become flats and apartments as well as hairdressers and coffee shop, all the stuff we want, dry cleaners. And do we even need a dry cleaner now? I don't know.
I used one this week, actually.
There you are. Nice. It's so expensive. Go on, Judy. Read one.
So we've got final email from me is James, Tim, Martin and Chris, formerly of B1 Services and Bromley-based managed service providers, are now joining together and becoming the Pond Group. This is IT support, telecoms and network. Both have over 20 years experience in this, and they've been providing outsourced IT functions, help desk support, technical knowledge, flexi team of technicians, IT procurement, all the things that we need to be considering because email spamming is on the rise and email hacking. Merger of two companies will unify under one roof, and they are now known as the Pond Group. That's their website, pondgroup.com, and they're all from Bromley. So I think we all need IT managed services. I've certainly got a good provider, and I couldn't live without them.
Yeah, it's something that we've all got to start looking into and keeping our pecker up. I hope that you're all keeping your pecker up at home and as we come to the close of 2021. And we've all been, I think everybody's been really stoic, and we've all, you know, realised that we need each other,
mm-hmm.
Helping each other and stuff like that. So as we come to the end, I'm squinting at the screen here because I can't wear glasses and headphones. I find it all a bit much. Last final tips, anything else to round up on the Twitter? Elle, have you done your job?
I feel like I've done I'm sure you've missed quite a satisfactory level.
I haven't opened and shut the door much.
I opened the door once, I closed it once.
That's perfect. And so will you be going back to Dublin for Christmas?
Well, Limerick.
Pamela?
I'm in Limerick.
Sorry, Limerick.
Hopefully. But as you said, Ireland is very restricted. So the plan is to, but I already have to do a test before I go there. I'll be testing while I'm there.
Constantly.
Who knows what could change? So I'm mentally prepared just in case.
I think pop-ups, you know, a lot of people are saying they can't go into restaurants in Ireland because they're not double vaccinated for various reasons, whether they don't want to or they can't have it. I said, do a pop-up, find a great chef, you know, get them round and do a little pop-up.
Yes.
I think pop-ups are going to be the future for people that want to socialise and maybe cannot go into certain places. I had a really nice dinner party, and I just got Chef Graham Greene to do a beef Wellington, which is loads of work. It was absolutely staggering, or as Paul Andrews would say, stonking. And it was the way to go, and I'm going to do it a lot more. And actually, it was cheaper than buying loads of stuff at Sainsbury's in the long run, because I would have panic buyed. You've been listening to me, Jules Serkin, on the Business Bunker Show. With the lovely Paul Andrews there and our lovely sponsor, thank you, DG East. Tune in next Tuesday for more Paul Andrews and the Business Bunker. But for now, from myself and Pamela Angley and also Elle Cloak and the lovely Julie Anderson. I'm thinking of Linda Cloak as well.
You were.
It's a warm goodbye from all of us, and we'll see you next
week.
Bye.
Thank you.